Hey, this is Pearls and Swine. I'm Levi. Across from me is Travis. And today we're going to be talking about windows. I remember as a kid, we went into this old abandoned house and we played paintball in it. And some of the windows were all boarded up and it smelled dank in there, right? It just stunk in there. It was, there's no breeze. It's kind of musty smelling. And from the old, you know, I don't know how long, there was some stuff, remnants left behind, not garbage, but just remnants left behind. But the air was stale. As I thought about that, I was thinking about how that when you have closed windows, it's like always great here when spring hits and you can finally open the windows and get the winter air out of your house and the new air in. And I think that happens in our spiritual lives also. I think God creates windows into our soul, windows into our lives that he wants to breathe or push or cause air to flow into our souls that is life-giving. And one of the ways I think he does that is through prayer. It's one of those things that's actually kind of difficult to do, and yet the disciples, they were with Jesus, and they said, hey, you know, Johnny Baptist, he taught his disciples how to pray. Teach us to pray. And so Jesus, you think he's going to give them this big, long, laborious prayer of all the theological principles, and yet he does that very familiar prayer. He says, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. It's not a long prayer. Mm-hmm. It's actually fairly short, but it's...
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. It's a pretty awesome prayer, right?
Yeah, yeah. It covers a lot of ground.
Yeah, the first part of it, hallowed be your name. You know, like, God, let your reputation, let it be honored today. Let us live in such a way that it honors who you are. And I like that. I like that kind of perspective that our lives are meant to do that, and that his name is meant to be lifted up. And I think that plays out in our lives, mm-hmm. in certain ways. When we start to have that perspective, it becomes something that moves us and challenges us. Mm-hmm. You know, may your reputation mean more than me getting even with the person that has wronged me, right?
That happens from time to time.
But like when you start praying, like hallowed be your name, what you're saying is let your reputation be such.
It's more than yourself.
Yeah.
I think you pointed out how those guys were probably expecting like all these theological principles and precepts to be just unleashed by Jesus. They were like, train us, man. Like, give us everything that's in your head, all this knowledge. And I just love how basic it really is.
It's basic, and yet it's really full of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, lots of people have it down to memory.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's so powerful, that hallowed be your name thing. That idea of like, let your name be higher than mm-hmm. my name, or give us our daily bread. Like, we worry about everything. We worry about tomorrow. We worry about next week, next year, what's going to happen. And he just says, hey, like, let's just worry about today. Let God provide for today.
And that's a huge thing. Like, I think when we talk about this idea or this principle or this topic of prayer, a lot of the times you come like it's going to be this humongous thing. Like, you've got to have, I mean, we've all heard the guys that talk and they've got the, oh, heavenly Lord who reigneth on high. And you think you have to have all this floral
steeple throat.
Yeah. All this florally speech and these big words. And like, you break down what prayer is, and it's talking to God.
Yeah. It's having that conversation.
Having a conversation, opening up your heart to him. Like,
well, in real life stuff.
Yeah.
We have kids, and sometimes I'm like, God, give me my daily bread of patience for the stunts they will pull today. And I think if you start praying like that and start living in that,
mm-hmm.
really expecting God to give in those things, you have not because you ask not.
Mm-hmm.
I think it revolutionizes things. It changes things. It changes how we live.
Well, you start out the way that Jesus taught, and it changes your heart posture. It becomes more about, like you said, lifting the name of God on high, giving him honor and the glory that he's due, instead of, I've got my stuff, God, here comes the laundry list, get ready, we need to change some things, you need to show up in some ways. And
Well, yeah, I think it gives us contentment. Mm-hmm. I was watching this movie a couple nights ago, and the guy was, he was all up in arms because all of his college buddies, they were like super rich and kind of famous. And he was, I think he was a social worker or something like that. Or he started a nonprofit. That's what it was. I didn't actually finish the movie, but he's...
Was that good?
Well, I got tired. But he's talking to his wife, and his wife said, you know, we have a good life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's some... God, give us our daily bread. When we get our daily bread, when we get what we need for that day, like, I think we forget to celebrate. And God is a God of celebration. You look at the Old Testament, he's always cranking up the barbecue for some type of celebration. And I think on a daily basis, when you start to see the provisions of God in your life, there is a celebratory kind of action. And I think when we party in that sense, I think it changes our heart toward just our perspective of life.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that stuff, you know, you want to be able to see God working and moving in your life. And sometimes we're too fast paced, or we just don't have eyes to actually see, or we don't take the time to pause and look around us and see all the good things that God is doing.
Yeah, I think prayer does that, right?
Yeah.
I think there's a book, I can't remember who wrote it, maybe Bill Hybels, but he said, "Too Busy Not to Pray" was the title of the book. And it was just fantastic about, like, we really need to engage with God. We really need not just to accomplish things, but to be actually engaged with him. That next part of that verse is, do not let us be led into evil, but deliver us from the evil one. Like, man, that's a daily grind.
Mm-hmm.
To not be led into evil and to be led away from the evil one. You know, God, deliver us from our smelly superiority. Mm-hmm. That we often bask in. You know, God, deliver me from inferiority when I feel I walk into a situation and I'm just feeling like, man, I just don't measure up. You know, like, lead me away from those things. God, deliver me from just, you know, lighten up the Amazon account to use money that I maybe don't have to impress people I don't even like, you know, or to even just to get the rush of buying something. I really like when the Amazon guy comes also. You know, God, deliver me from that evil. I think it's just a beautiful prayer. And I think if we took just a few minutes each day, it could revolutionize mm-hmm. our days, and it could connect us in such a way to God. I think oftentimes what happens is we get running and we get, you know, we grab our cup of coffee, we grab our keys, we run out the door and we're like, okay, God, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the coffee,
yeah.
Or thanks for the grub.
Bring more.
Yeah, yeah. You know, hopefully I get another one today. And we run, but we don't just spend that time. I think part of it is that we feel like God is distant. We feel like God is away from us. I think we feel like God is maybe difficult to access at times. One of the things that I was thinking about is sometimes you go to have to hang out with people in this job that you don't actually really know.
Sometimes in real life that happens,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, right? And so what's always interesting is, you know, you start asking people some questions and get the conversation going, kind of normal conversation starters. Hey, who are you? You know, what do you do? Those types of questions of getting to know somebody. But you start to get engaged in a conversation with someone and they're like, oh, you know, I do this. And then there's all this flood of questions, whether mm-hmm. it be, well, I'm a lawyer, a family lawyer. Oh, is that really hard? Like, you know, how do you engage in that day to day? And it's just like, it fascinates you. And all of a sudden you're learning about this person. And so one of the things that I like to talk about is, what if God is actually interesting? What if he's actually interesting? Would that change? If we had that perspective that God is actually interesting, it's not just, you know, I hate being in those conversations where the person's like really boring. Do you know what I mean? And you're
yeah.
like, okay, this is going
next.
North. Yeah, it's like the yes, no, don't know type of answers.
Yeah.
And you're like, I hate being in those things, but I actually don't think God's like that. I
no.
actually think he's super interesting and super fascinating. And I think if we engage in that conversation with him, we start to wander around with him in
mm-hmm.
that conversation, starting to engage more in that conversation. And I think that's one of the windows into our soul, is to understand that God is interesting. He's the creator of the world, the one who has made it all, put it all together, knows us by name, knit us together in our mother's womb. All of those things are true, and we know those theologically, but how do we not see him as interesting? How do we see him as distant and far?
I think some of the reason how we don't do that is that we get too stuck on us. And like Jesus started that prayer with, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." If you want to know about God, you've got to ask him to reveal himself to you. You've got to ask him to speak to your heart. And one of the things I think we run around a little bit too fast in our daily lives and in our culture to actually take time to hear God. You know, we want to do the rub-a-dub-dub thing. We want to do the, "Well, God's my genie in a bottle. I'm going to ask him for a bunch of stuff."
Isn't that a song?
I don't know. I don't remember that one. Can you sing me a couple of notes?
No.
But, you know, we try to use God as that genie where we get our three wishes or we get our things or we connect with him and we're doing our spiritual duty, so to speak, and we want him to show up instead of looking around, maybe pausing, maybe being quiet for a while and see how God is showing up, or listen to that still small voice that he's trying to speak into our hearts and into our lives.
Yeah. I think that idea of speaking, that's another thing. Mm-hmm. What if God actually speaks?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, yeah. Right? If we were hanging out like Moses, he talked to him like a friend.
Yeah.
I think it would probably be a little bit easier, but King David was talking about it. He actually wrote a song about it and how God speaks. And he says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun." And just this proclamation of, which is natural revelation, mm-hmm. which is different than special revelation, which is the word of God. But the special or the natural revelation, it happens every day. Whether mm-hmm. you read your Bible or not, God is proclaiming and speaking and talking. And what if he wants to talk to you? What if he wants to speak to you? What if he wants to communicate to you? I think that's why sometimes people will say, "Oh, I'm more in tune with God when I'm out in nature,"
yeah,
instead of going to church. That is not true theologically, so stop that.
Wrong. But God can do that.
I think he can.
But he doesn't want you to forsake the assembly.
It doesn't want you to forsake the assembly, and you don't actually experience the full counsel of who God is and the refinement that happens within the body of Christ. But that's a whole other theological conversation that we can
have. Well, one of my favorite books by one of my favorite guys, Crazy Love by Francis Chan, he starts off that book and he's like, "What if I told you to stop praying?" And he uses that as kind of a shock and awe thing of like, whoa, what's this guy talking about here? But his idea is like, we are so fast paced. We're so busy thinking about what we want, what we need, the way we think our life should go, that we don't stop and take those moments to pause and just be awestruck by God. And some of that is looking around and seeing his revelation through his creation, but some of it's seeing how he's revealed himself in your life too. You know, you sit down, you chill. I had to do an assignment like this for one of my seminary classes, and it was to sit for like an hour straight in silence. Like, you read a little passage and then you're just supposed to sit and just try to listen for God. And I put that thing off and I put that thing off until the last couple of days of the semester because I was like, man, I can't do it. But I did it. And like, it was one of those things that it actually was impactful. You know, it was a lot more than just having something to write a paper about and get a grade.
Yeah, Jesus at times went away.
Yeah.
Because he needed to.
To the wilderness, too.
Yeah, he needed to fuel up with the Father and he needed to speak to his daddy. And so, you know, one of the things I think is that from the foundation of the world, God has been speaking,
mm-hmm.
and he's been speaking over the world. You know, I was sitting in the old Lazy Boy, and I paused one of my Netflix binges, and you know what happens when you pause your TV? It goes to those, like, nature, like, scenery.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there looking at those things. I'm like, that is amazing. Look at that picture. And it's not even real life, right? It's just on a screen.
Yeah.
And I thought, holy crud, God speaks. He's speaking through my television right now. And I think that, like, he's interesting. Like, there's different colors and different, you know, different things that are just absolutely beautiful. There's one, like, I remember looking at one of them, and it was like a desert scene. It was all red and had all the really cool rock formations. And then the next one was, I don't know where it was, but it was like in Greenland or something like that. And everything is lush and green and flowers popping. And I was like, these things are both beautiful, very different, mm-hmm. both beautiful, both interesting in their own right. And I'm like, wow, God speaks. And he's also, maybe he's actually interesting.
And that's just true. There was one, as we were kind of prepping for this thing and we were looking at some of the stuff of like what what makes prayer challenging sometimes too. A.W. Tozer had a quote that said, "Prayer among evangelical Christians is always in danger of degenerating into a glorified gold rush." And I think we look at those things and we're like, yeah, God's awesome. God's big. He can do all this stuff. But like I said before, our hearts can turn towards the idea of, I need this. I need that. And I find myself guilty of that. Like, you're in a rough situation and your day's going crummy and you're like, God, this is sucky. Come and show up. Pull me out of this situation. Give me words, whatever it is. But when you look at the ministry of Jesus and the purpose that prayer played in his life, I mean, he prayed for himself, yes, but he was often praying for others. And he prayed for the opportunity to commune with his Heavenly Father, like those instances where he went out into the wilderness. It was more than just a conversation. It gave him kind of a spiritual uplifting as well, so to speak. Like, it recharged his battery.
Yeah, I think partially because he knew that the Father cared.
Mm-hmm.
You get to him where he's on the cross and he's like, "Father, why have you forsaken me?"
Yeah.
All before then, he had never forsaken him. In all of creation, all of time of eternity, he had not forsaken him. But in that moment, when he turned his face away from him, there was this forsaking, there was this emptiness, there was this lack of intimacy. And one of the things I think that we need to realize in prayer is that God actually cares. Mm-hmm. It is how Jesus starts it off, and he says, "Our Father." And that, for some people, I think is a loaded term.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And, you know, they have never been hugged by their daddy, their earthly daddy, and they've never, you know, had that connection point or that just like, "Hey, you did a good job" type of thing. That would be totally foreign for them. But God is, the Bible says that he sings songs about mm-hmm. us, which is crazy, right? Like that he's speaking and singing about who we are and how much he loves us. And Jesus says, "Our Father," he says, like that he cares. It's not this cosmic force. It's connected relationally mm-hmm. to us. And I think we miss that sometimes when we shut the window of prayer, or we only crack it once in a while for the rub-a-dub-dub prayer.
Let the steel air out.
And I think we miss this relationship and the air and the flow of the Spirit of God doesn't flow into us how it should. Jesus says when you pray, "Our Father," he sees this connection, that it's relational. There's another passage of scripture in, maybe 1 John 3 that talks about, he says, "What great love the Father has that he lavished on us that we should be called children of God." That is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that they did not know him. Hmm. And you're a child of God because Jesus has entered into a relationship with you through the work that he has done on the cross, and the Spirit has indwelled you. Everyone's an image bearer of God, but not everyone's a child of God. It's only those who mm-hmm. have faith in the one that he has sent, is what the Bible says. Believe in the one who is sent is your work, and you become a child of God. There's intimacy there that God has for us, and yet we probably don't access it because we don't realize that he is absolutely in love with us and has lavished his love upon us.
And that's an awesome concept to think about. Like, the idea of a father can be tainted for some of us, but God loves you. He loves you so much. You look at the cross and that's just an example of his love for you. Look around in creation. Like, he made all of this for us to enjoy and to know him. He wanted us to be able to be connected with him. And I think you've got to come to that place to be connected with him. You've got to have that relationship with him. And part of having a relationship with somebody is talking to them. And God is super interesting, and God's super interested in you as his child.
Yeah, one of the things that really impacted me in this last maybe 6 months is a song by Maverick City Music called "Talking to Jesus." And it's just kind of this story of his life. His grandma was teaching him to pray. His mom was taking him to church and teaching him to pray, and then he's teaching his kid to pray, and he says, "I hope he prays all the days of his life," basically. I hope mm-hmm. he's always talking to Jesus all the days of his life, because we have an incredible friend in Jesus. It's a really great song. Take a listen to it. But open the window of prayer. Mm-hmm. Open the window of prayer and let the fresh air come in. It's hard at first. It's difficult at first. And part of it is I think we think that God is not interesting. Really confront that. We think that God doesn't care, and he absolutely is in love with us. He's wanting this relationship with us. He's wanting this connection to us. What if we just started our day that way? Not in a ritualistic way, but in a way of going, "Man, God, you want to celebrate with me, by providing for me, and that we would have these times where we could go, what a friend we have in Jesus. Thanks for listening to us on Pearls and Swine.
Yeah, and if you guys want to catch any of our previous episodes, you can find us on Apple Podcast or Google Play. Just search out Evangel Houghton Podcast, or you can check out the latest Pearls and Swine episodes on our website, evangelup.org. And as always, if you have questions or comments, send those to us. I would be happy to get in touch with you on that. That would be Travis at evangelup.org. And we will catch you guys next time.